Greetings, Sleepy Souls here on this Friday, August 31st of 2012, and welcome to the 56th episode of the Last Bastille Podcast. This broadcast is kindly hosted over at radioforall.net. I should also take this opportunity to mention that the opening theme is Ashley Alicize's A Puzzling Predicament, and the outro will be Bosa's King's Quest, both of them available pursuant to Creative Commons Attribution, specifically CC BY NCSA 3.0 unported. For more information on Creative Commons, visit them at creativecommons.org. For any other content that may not be of original authorship by yours truly, any such material is used under the sincere intention of fair use. If you wish to understand the nature of the situation we are all suffering under and what can be done about it, feel free to visit the Last Bastille blog, which is located over at The Last Bastille. Bastille is spelled B-A-S-T-I-L-L-E. TheLastBastille.wordpress.com. And for this particular episode, we're going to focus on another essential concept, that is, those fundamental bare-bones basics of what must be understood if humanity is to ever reassert self-determination, or quite simply put another way, we'll be looking at a certain aspect of the control system itself. And for this particular go-around, we're going to take a look at austerity, an article that was originally published over at the Last Bastille blog, originally on January 27th of 2012, entitled Austerity. Adults are expected to be responsible in nearly every sphere of human activity, regardless of whether it involves treating their fellow man decently, providing for their families, or simply improving themselves. Men need to take care of the business that is their own lives. Financially, this may range from paying bills to balancing a checkbook, or perhaps saving up for something worthwhile. Historically, governments the world over tend to have this noticeable pattern of not being able to stay within the budget for their respective national households. The worst situations merit what their creditors have deceptively called austerity. The International Monetary Fund, or IMF, and the World Bank are known for loaning out to so-called third world countries and other developing nations. The shareholding member countries, which interestingly enough are themselves primarily funded through corporatist high finance special interests, back these loans. John Perkins, a former economic consultant for CHAST Maine, details in his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, that certain government officials are bribed to make sure their nation states take these loans that can't ever be paid back. Once the country fails to keep to its payment schedule, then the austerity provisions of the loan contract go into effect, pursuant to so-called conditionalities. The aftermath of said austerity is that the standard of living plummets. Multinational corporations are given undue privileges to set up shop in the financially conquered nation by unjustly exploiting resources as well as the public. And the resulting stagflation, which robs the free market of genuine production and innovation. Governments cut benefits, raise taxes, and enforce a domestic police state to keep the public in line. Basically, the country goes into third world foreign receivership. Contrary to the mainline mythological movie that passes for contemporary history, austerity is anything but fiscal conservatism. Essential services are drastically cut to the point that the police won't even investigate burglary, identity theft, or extortion. Interestingly, even though they are abdicating their responsibilities as public servants, they are more than happy to prevent you from being responsible for your own safety, all the while leaving you to whatever stray wolves may be about. The conditionalities that recipient nation states are subject to by the IMF and World Bank are much more draconian than simply living within your means. Ethiopia, Brazil, Peru, Russia, Bolivia, Ecuador, Argentina, and others have all felt the not-so-wonderful sting of austerity. Now countries such as Greece, soon to be followed by the rest of Europe, is in the throes of it as well. Unfortunately, the U.S. Congress has only the foresight to either raise the debt ceiling or go into default. instead of writing off the fake debt that Americans, in fact, do not owe to the financial elitists. Only Iceland has showed any real promise of actually overturning the beneficence of these wannabe monopoly men. Eventually, populist sentiment arose, as it did during Arab Spring as well as in the British Isles. The populace is just beginning to realize the magnitude of the control grid and who exactly runs the insane asylum. As we stand at the edge of forever, the people must regain their self-control if any effective resistance is to be waged against these cheating plutocrats and their assorted minions who relish playing God with our lives. And again, that was my article about austerity. And now I like to give a brief postscript. You know, in a lot of ways, we're already under austerity. Whether it may not be through the officially sanctioned way of through the IMF and World Bank, or even the BIS, which is the Bank of International Settlements, which in a lot of ways is actually more important than the IMF and World Bank. But whichever, you know, globalist central bank thing it is, at the end of the day, you know, austerity doesn't have to be official, like how I described in the article. I have since discovered it can be unofficial as well. You can have these various effects of austerity without it ever being officially declared, very much like how you can have these imperialistic wars of aggression by the military-industrial complex without Congress ever declaring war. Very similarly, you can have this form of artificially induced economic deprivation against the populace directly just enacted, even without going through the charade of bribing officials to accept these loans, which are impossible to pay back, and then that enacts the conditionalities pursuant to the, you know, fake loan contract. You don't even need to go through that rigmarole. I mean, all you really need to do is seize control of the currency, preferably through central banking, since that is what works, and then devalue the currency to such the extent that the purchasing power is so unbelievably weak that just trying to make ends meet is virtually impossible. That is a form of unofficial or otherwise undeclared austerity. And with the worsening, with the slow slide economic collapse, or as Jack Spirko, I think, more correctly describes it, downward class migration. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, a slow slide or downward class migration type scenario, which is what people here in the States are going through right now, that in itself is a form of austerity. That's the big joke. So yes, while my article is true and accurate and complete, I was only really addressing the official austerity, which is really what most of the alternative media was addressing. I have since discovered there's also this unofficial or otherwise somewhat more subtle form, but it's not called austerity. They'll call it something else: downward class migration, slow slide economic collapse, etc., etc. But it really is the same thing, because with austerity, you know, the currency is still active. It's not like a full-blown situation where it's like hyperinflation. Austerity is not that, because the currency still works, can still be used to exchange for goods and services. So it's not the same thing as a hyperinflationary situation or a version on a theme of that. It's not the same thing. So I think that should be kept in mind, that you have your official version pursuant to these fakey loan contracts, and then your unofficial version, which is, I guess you could say, the American version, which is a slow slide economic collapse thing. And it's interesting, Europe is kind of like a weird combination of the two in a lot of ways. But I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, pretty much most of the planet is under some form of third world foreign receivership. Of course, it does beg the question, foreign to whom? But I'll save that for another episode. Speaking of which, for next episode, we will continue Seeing Through the Fog of Illusion by exploring another essential concept, that of compartmentalization. I'm Sleepy Salsa, and thanks for listening.